Reformed Church.
1 Corinthians 12:14 says, "For the body is not one member." I know it says, "but many," but I really wanted to focus on, "for the body is not one member." Man, it's important to understand this. I was sharing some things on Sunday about how, you know, God wants you to fulfill your ministry, and there is something that God always wants you to be doing and ministering to people. You know, lack of ministry is not because you just have to, like, you know, there comes like a point where you sort of hit the pinnacle and now I can start ministering to people. Every single Christian has something to offer because the Spirit's in us. And every single Christian that has the Spirit of God has manifestation of the Spirit also. Every Christian does, because you couldn't have gotten saved without faith. And faith is what produces manifestation, therefore the Holy Spirit is manifesting through you. And that's I'm talking about a newly born-again believer, let alone someone that's actually heard the gospel and been trained in it before. So we've got a lot of things manifesting through us. And I was saying on Sunday about how, and actually I made a mistake on the reference. I quoted as if it was 1 Timothy 4, but it's the one reference I was giving you is 2 Timothy 4, and it just says, "Fulfill your ministry. Fulfill your ministry." And that's another thing that the Lord had really just been pointing out, that, you know, God has a ministry for us. And just so you know, that's not, there's two different ways we can talk about this topic. We can talk about your office within the church, that there's a particular thing that God wants to emphasize through you. And I don't personally believe that's something that you even have to know in order to fulfill. You just, the Holy Spirit leads you a day at a time, and you end up, he just starts emphasizing things in you, in the things that you're involved with and the things that you do. But so you can talk about this in two different ways, the fulfill your ministry thing. You can talk about it as far as your office is concerned, fulfill that, you know, the emphasis that God wants to put in you and work through you, so that you, you know, if he's called you to be, for instance, a teacher, you know, then that, like, just the teaching quality begins coming out more so. Or if it's a working in miracles or gifts of healing or administrations, you know, whatever it is, that he begins emphasizing those things. But also fulfill your ministry can honestly just be just the day-to-day, like, what God's leading you to do today. You know, what's he leading you to do service to service? Who the person he wants you to talk to? Because ultimately, it's those small decisions that really add up to your ministry anyway. Just to give you, like, just personally, it doesn't make it true, but I'm just sharing with you personally that I haven't had a word from God that ever told me, like, you know, I mean, in more recent years, yes, but like, growing up and getting to know the Lord, I never had, like, a thing where the Lord told me, "Oh, you are called to be a whatever, X, Y, or Z." That was never a thing. But the thing is, you just get to know Jesus. And if you renew your mind, you can't not be transformed. And what you're going to be transformed into is ultimately the image of Jesus. But God is going to emphasize certain things in your ministry to other people to use you in certain functions. And so when he says fulfill your ministry, again, we can talk about that as sort of like the overarching thing, you know, for the foreseeable future, that God wants to use you in this capacity, right? And again, he could want you to be working with kids now and with adults later. I used to work with teens, and, you know, and now I teach on Wednesdays. But regardless of what it is, we can talk about the fulfill your ministry as like the overarching thing. But sometimes I feel like we get too far out there in just talking about the overarching thing, and we want God to tell us what he's going to be using us for the rest of our lives, rather than just say, "Lord, what do you lead me to do right now?" And ultimately just get to know Jesus. And as he leads you, then you do those things. And, you know, it's going to add up. Like, those things just add up. I remember Pastor Jose, when I was younger, telling me, like, oh, he for like, as a school thing, he wanted me to write, like, little sermons. And so I would do that. And there were certain things I was, like, inclined to when I was younger, which is a little hard for me to admit. But there were even things when I was younger where, as a kid, I would like reading poetry sometimes. And I would journal. And there were different things, like, with writing that I was, like, interested in writing. And even, like, with music. And I was interested in those various different things. And so And those are not even things that I even recognize that was the Lord, which I really believe is now. But it's just like day to day, just saying, you know what, Lord, what do you want to do through me? And just the day to day things that just sort of add up into an overarching thing that you look back and say, oh, you know what, Lord, maybe he tells you there's this particular emphasis, this particular ministry that he had in your life. But like I said, I don't think it's wrong for the Lord to tell you, I've called you to be a pastor, I've called you to be a prophet, I've called you to be whatever, a teacher. But just to give you another for instance, I don't even understand all the differences between all those different offices. I don't even understand all those differences. And every person that I have ever heard teach on the differences between those offices are not giving me scripture for it. I can give you a bit of a distinction between like a prophet and a teacher, for instance, but I really don't even know all the differences between the apostles, prophets, you know, evangelists, teachers, pastors. I don't know all those differences, but again, I don't believe that it's necessarily that you have to understand how to define a certain word in the Bible for the Holy Spirit to actually be leading you and fulfilling you in those capacities, you know, because again, it is really just, Lord, what are you telling me right now? And you just learn in Jesus, and as you learn Jesus, he will inspire things in your mind. You get ideas and things, and it just, there it goes. Whether you knew you were supposed to do that before or not, or had this grand call that all my life I always knew I was supposed to be whatever, that's not really what it's about. It's about learning Jesus, and the Bible says that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, and just so you know, a living sacrifice does not mean, Lord, you know, I just lay down everything I want to do, even though there's probably a right way to say that. Living sacrifice is actually talking about rest, and it's letting the Holy Spirit live through you, and your flesh is crucified with Christ. Just like Jesus was crucified in the flesh, but now he lives by the Spirit, so we are crucified in our flesh, which means rest. Paul defines that in Galatians 2:20 as meaning rest, and a living sacrifice means I'm alive, but it's not me living. I'm dead, I'm resting, it's Christ living through me. And as a living sacrifice, meaning I'm not the one fulfilling the ministry itself, but what does the verse after that say? That by the renewing of your mind, that you be transformed, right? And you're not conformed to this world, but you're transformed by the renewing of your mind. So what does a living sacrifice do? Just renews their mind. So that is ultimately what, that's the catalyst for all of this. That's what triggers ministry in general. And you don't have to have someone wave their hand over you. I shared even recently, you know, even when I was little, I would wonder sometimes, like, if someone was, because, you know, thank God I did grow up in a church and in a household, thank God, that believed in, you know, the gifts of the Spirit and words of knowledge and prophecy and, like, healing and all that. Like, that's, I didn't never realize how indispensable that was until I grew up. But I would know someone would give a call and say, oh, you know, I'm prophesying to so-and-so. And, I'm like, it's never me. They're never talking about me. Someone prophesies over here, and someone says someone's going to do something great, and someone's going to have some ministry. And, like, it was never me. But, you know, I mean, back when I was younger, I noticed that and probably cared about that. But you know, as you actually get to know the Lord, you realize all that stuff doesn't mean anything in and of itself, I'm saying. The Lord does it for a reason, but I'm saying it doesn't mean anything to whether you fulfill your ministry or not. You don't need a word like that. You just need to renew your mind. And as a living sacrifice, meaning someone that's not living and has given up the notion that you can do ministry, but as a living sacrifice, you say, Lord, I can't do this, but I believe that you've put a gift on the inside of me, your Spirit, that will move through me, Lord, and is supposed to move through me. It's for everybody, for the Holy Spirit to move through us and fulfill our ministry. And when you recognize that and just start renewing your mind, that's what living sacrifices do. They renew their mind, and when you renew your mind, you cannot help but be transformed. You won't look like the world anymore, but you'll be transformed into the image of Jesus, as 2 Corinthians 3:18 fills in the gap for us. But into the image of Jesus, you'll be conformed. And again, it's just renewing your mind. It's not this complex thing. You'll honestly fulfill your ministry accidentally if you just renew your mind. Like you'll be doing things, and then you'll be like, oh, I'm doing that. I can't tell you how many times that's actually happened, even in my short time ministering to people. Just even in that short period of time, I like, there's so many times that I've been doing something, and I was like, oh, you told me this years ago, and look, I'm doing it. Like, or at least the beginnings of it. And so, again, you can very, very easily accidentally be fulfilling your ministry just because you renew your mind, because you won't be able to help but fulfill your ministry if you really get serious about renewing your mind. But you have to get serious about that. You can't, again, even we were talking about before about inching away for criticism, inching away for different things. You need to be steadfast in the gospel and not care who or what anyone thinks. And just be steadfast in that and just harden yourself over the gospel and say, you know what, Lord, I'm setting my face like flint and I'm gonna stick to this. But if you do that, you will fulfill your ministry. Like, it's impossible for you to not fulfill your ministry. Again, otherwise that principle there of how to receive from God is a lie. That principle of renew your mind, be transformed is really a lie then if somehow I can renew my mind and I'm not going to fulfill my ministry. That wouldn't make any sense. So that is true. But it is important, though, because part of the mind renewal process is even knowing that you have ministry to do. If you hear me on that, that's part of renewing your mind. Because some people say, I'm renewing my mind. But you know what, though? It's like they're okay with not much going on in their life. Well, you may say you're renewing your mind, and maybe in certain areas you are, but part of renewing your mind is knowing I have a ministry to fulfill. You see what I'm saying? That's a chunk of knowledge there that's like, wait, I got a gift. I have a gift, and not just a gift, just strictly speaking about, you know, an office to fulfill in the church. I'm saying, like, just the Holy Spirit in general and all the gifts that come along with that, but I have a gift. And again, I gave the example on Sunday that there's no way that if you had, the example I gave then was, if you knew you had some special superpower to point at a surface and money would just appear on that, there is absolutely no way. And even if you knew that maybe the first couple times I point my finger at that surface, it's not gonna work out, it's not gonna be working fully, but if you knew that that was even possible, you'd be pointing at everything until something came out. You would do that. Every person would. But that shows sometimes our lack of confidence in the gift that we have, that we don't, quote unquote, point our finger at things. We're not actually pushing to see these things manifest. The Bible says to desire or covet in King James, to desire earnestly the best gifts. Like you say, hey, you know what, Lord? I want to be used by you, and more than I want to be used by you, Lord, I believe I have the gift of God on the inside of me. I'm not going to neglect the gift of God on the inside of me, and I have a ministry to fulfill here. Honestly, Pastor Jose and Miss Kim, as much of a blessing as this church is, if this church didn't exist, I have a ministry to fulfill. Now, thank God we do have a church. It is orderly, is decently, and in order to submit to leadership at the church that you go to and to submit to even their guidance on where they think that you might need to be even within like a church realm and say, where do you think I should be? You know, we even, for our team, we have like preferences and in other words, when you fill out where you want to be, we have a preference box and then just a box where like I'm willing to do it, but I don't prefer it. And so all that is good. But ultimately, I think there is definitely something to be said for, hey, you know what? I do prefer this. Where do you think, though, is good? Because I'll tell you this, God didn't make them leaders for no reason. It wasn't like, you know, like they have no capacity to lead here. God made them a leader for a reason. So it's good to let them lead and say, hey, where do you think, you know, I should be? But even beyond that, again, if this church didn't even exist, though, it's like I have a ministry to fulfill. And then what you find is when you realize that you have a ministry to fulfill because you have a gift on the inside of you, and it's not of you, it's not a talent. And truthfully, you could use the word talent if you wanted to, but most people just use that wrong. A talent, if it just means something you're good at a lot of things now, but it's all the Holy Spirit's talents, if you want to put it that way, right? Talent is just usually used in a way that means the ability I was born with. I was just born with natural leadership skills. I was born a loving person. I was born very kind. I was born with just a compassionate heart. Listen, you weren't born with any of those things. You weren't born with any of those things because if you were, God wouldn't have had to make all things new. He could have just saved a little piece of you then, right? Human compassion is caring what people think wrapped in what they call compassion. That's what human compassion is. If you were born a compassionate person, let me describe you for a second. I guarantee you will recognize this about yourself if you think that, oh, I was just born a compassionate person. You care what people think a lot, you take people's word to heart a lot, and you are not quick to correct people and contradict people. Probably describes you, right? If you really were compassionate, you would contradict people when you needed to. You would correct them. That's God's love. But human compassion just means I care a lot what you think, so I'm not going to rock the boat, and we call it compassion. That's not compassion. You may come across sweet, but that's not compassion. You'll let someone die like that. Human leadership, if you say, I'm a natural-born leader. No, you're not a natural-born anything. You are natural-born, I guess, a lot of things, but not a leader. Human leadership is just pride. That's all human leadership is. If you see a person that is naturally, just seems like they're always the one everybody's following, there are all those people in the world. But natural-born leaders are people that are prideful and full of themselves. And therefore, they're confident in themselves. And that's why people follow them, because this guy must know what he's doing. That's just pride. And it's not out to serve people. It's out to be served. That's what a natural-born leader is. Someone who's out to be served, someone who's full of themselves and is prideful and is confident in themselves. And you'll die yourself that way and kill other people that way as well. A born-again leader is someone that serves other people, loves other people, will contradict people when needed, but their desire is to serve people, and they don't use their position to be served, but to serve. That's a born-again leader. And born-again compassion is, I love you so much that I'm going to be gentle with you, and when I need to contradict you, I'm going to contradict you, and I'm going to tell you the truth, even when you say it hurts you. Ultimately, the truth doesn't hurt, but people will say they're hurt by it, and human compassion won't do that. If it hurts someone else, human compassion won't do it. Godly compassion will speak the truth. Even if someone says, that hurts me, that hurts my feelings, godly compassion will say, and it's the truth, and I love you so much, I'm going to still give you the information. There's not natural born anything good. God has given you a gift, and what I mean by God has given you a gift, I'm talking about the day you were born again. There's a social media quote, if we haven't put it out already, we will at some point, that just says, basically, don't trust the abilities you were born with, trust the abilities you were born again with. Because God got rid of everything. All things have become new. It tells you something about that, right? It tells you a little bit something about how we were. All things became new. He just said, let me just clean the whole thing. Don't put any trust in your flesh. Just put trust in all the gifts you have now through Jesus. We've been born again leaders. We've been born again. And just so you know, if you're a leader too, a godly leader, once you know that everything you have is not from you, that gives you humility. Because you know, I have all these giftings, but it's not me. So it doesn't make you prideful because it's God's abilities that you have on the inside of you. And once you know that, another quality of a born-again leader is you're willing to submit to people. Because that's another thing that you won't see a natural-born leader very quickly do. Natural-born leaders, so-called, they don't submit to people very easily. But when you're born-again leader, God will make you a leader, and you just let wisdom, as it says in Proverbs chapter 4, you let just wisdom promote you, but you're not after that. That's not the point, because you just have so much from the Lord, but because you know it's not from you, and you were just poor on your own, and you were helped, it was all charity. God gave it to you all as charity and love, right? And when you know that that's how you've gotten this gift, you're okay with submitting to other people because you're not so stuck up or stuck on yourself that you can't submit to somebody. That's really important. That's really important. Natural-born leaders do not need to be at the top of any particular ministry or organization to know that they're a leader. You don't need that. You have the title that God gave you, Son of God, ruler over this whole world, and you're like, what else do I ask for, Lord? That's just good enough for me. That's really important. Those are other qualities that you have in the Lord. But again, I'll just wrap up with this, that, again, God has put a gift on the inside of you, and I'll just read you that verse. I never even got to what I was reading in 1 Corinthians 12. Let me just real quick explain why I read 1 Corinthians 12:14. It says, the body is not one member, but many. My point with that was, I really already made my point, but just to correlate it, the body is not one member. Think about that for a second. The body is not one member. That means that we shouldn't be content looking at someone else doing ministry. The body is not one member. Whenever the body becomes one member, something's off balance. The body is not one member. One person should not be doing everything. That's so important. You say, Lord, what's my part? That's what you need to ask. What's my part? And you know what? You don't have to have a word of knowledge or prophecy after that for him to fulfill that part, but you need to get seeking it. One person doing everything, this says, that's not good. The body's not one member. Because you know, when one person's doing everything, you know what you end up getting? You end up getting a body that looks more like an eyeball or just an ear. And there's a whole lot of stuff that's not getting done. It's just, okay, there's one office there then. The body is not one member but many. That's why I brought up that God has a ministry for you to fulfill, because it says that the way that the body of Christ is supposed to operate is by each person doing the office that God has called them to, fulfilling their ministry. This also means, because it says the body is not one member but many, this also means that you do not need to, in your ministry, look exactly like somebody else. And when you try to copy somebody else, it's often not going to work. Because even though every single, this is much more than I can explain right now, even though each one of us should be manifesting all the qualities of Jesus in our life, right? Because we have all of Jesus, and God wants to transform me into the image of Jesus, right? 2 Corinthians 3:18 doesn't say he wants to transform me into just a little part of Jesus because that's your gifting. No, into the image of Jesus, being transformed into his same image from glory to glory. But even though God wants to manifest all the qualities of Jesus, he does have a particular office that, again, he's going to emphasize certain qualities in you so that each person can have their own emphasis and everything can get done, right? And that's really important. Our gifting, so-called, if you're using that word as 1 Corinthians 12, if you read the whole chapter, if you're using the word gifting as the way that 1 Corinthians 12 is using it in the sense of an office, like the office God has gifted to you, we don't have all the same gifts. That means we don't have all the same offices is what that means. We have all the same gifts, meaning all the gifts of the Spirit, meaning all on the inside of us, but we don't have all the same office. And this is why you can't, when you say, Lord, what's my part? What do you want me to contribute to the body of Christ or even to this local body here? What do you want me to contribute here? It doesn't have to look like somebody else's. In fact, it often won't. And when you try to copy somebody else, it's going to be very hard because that's not the way the Lord, because again, what if every part of the body tried to become the eye? That wouldn't be any good, right? There's a reason why my finger doesn't look like my eyeball, and that's okay, because it has a different function. And you need to ask the Lord, what's the function I have? Even in this church, you need to ask the Lord, what's the function that I have here? Because that's how the body operates. When the body's not operating, and that body becomes one member or just a few members, then you get basically a handicapped church. You get a body where a lot of it's not functioning. And then you got the fingers, and I can grab stuff, but I can't hear anything, or I can't taste anything, and it's not functioning right. It's unhealthy. And we will not get everything done as quickly as we need to because one member needs to be the finger sometimes and then jump over and try to be the eye and then jump over and try to be the tongue. It's no good. What's my part? What am I contributing? What do I need to contribute? Ask the Lord those things. And as you renew your mind, he will bring these things to your heart, what you need to contribute. If you say, well, I haven't been led to contribute, that's not true. You haven't heard it. That's not true. The body is not one member, but many. Every single part. If you are a part of the quote-unquote body of Christ, this says you have a function. That goes for the body of Christ, and that goes for this church. You have a function. It's not that you haven't been led, you haven't heard. You have to ask the Lord, what's my function? Maybe you are functioning, and maybe you still can, with an open mind, ask the Lord, Lord, I want to open my mind, Lord, so maybe there's more. Maybe there's something else, Lord. I just want to, sometimes just all that is. Lord, I'm just opening my mind to you, Lord. If there's something I'm missing, Lord, show me in a greater capacity than which I can function is a great platform right here. We have a platform here with positions at this church in which people can function to promote the gospel. It's like literally handing you ministries on a plate and saying, pick one, literally here. So great place to start. I'm not saying it's limited to this, but it certainly includes this, okay? Not limited to this, but it certainly includes it. Lord, what's my function? If we're not all doing our part, again, not everybody needs to be teaching. Not everybody needs to be doing sound. It's a matter of what's my part. If we all do our part, honestly, can I tell you right now? This right here is an answer to what we were talking about pre-service, just so you know. What I'm talking about right now is the answer to that, just so you know. That's a word from the Lord. I'm not going to tell you what was said pre-service, but I'm just saying that was for the team. But that's the answer right there. Each person needs to be doing its part first. Every member of the body needs to be doing its part. The body is not one member. If we're watching someone else do ministry, Lord, what do I have? What can I contribute? And just so you know, when you say, you're not doing something extra special when you say, Lord, what can I contribute? You're already a part of the body. It's like the finger thinking, wow, look it, I'm doing something extraordinary by being a finger. You're just a finger. You're just doing what you do. You see what I'm saying? You're not going above and beyond by being a finger. That's just what the finger does. When the finger's not working, that's actually what's weird. Sometimes we think it's extra special when we fall into our office. That's not extra special. That's not extraordinary. It's actually extraordinary when the finger doesn't do what a finger does. Now that's noticeable. You see, this entire time on stage, I've been using my hands. Not a single person probably has looked at my hands and thought, wow, Pastor Mike's hand is moving the microphone back and forth. That's excellent. It's just doing what a finger does. It would be weird if there was if my arm was somehow limp. You would notice it then, right? Because it's not doing its function. You see, being a part of the body of Christ, it is not extraordinary that God ministers to people through you. In whatever capacity. It may not be even in a direct way, where you're in direct communication with people. Like sound and video. They're not in direct communication with people, and yet that's ministry. 100% that's ministry. This word could not go forth as effective as I tell. Even when they record messages, they're the modern-day scribes because they're recording the word. That's how the Bible was written, through many people. Even Paul would dictate, and someone would write it down and record it. That's ministry. But regardless of what it is, again, just getting back to what I was saying, and I am done right now, I never got to go to the other reference I was going to, but that's okay. But again, the extraordinary thing is when, like, wait, hold on, this is not doing its function. It's ordinary for God to minister to people through you. It is a part of your nature. It is according to the gifts of God on the inside of you to function in the body of Christ and in the local body. It is a normal part of being a Christian. I know a lot of people come in, and we don't ask people to be on the team or anything like that, or to try to function when they don't know the Lord. That makes perfect sense. We don't even ask people to give. We would actually tell people, don't give if you don't know what's being taught here. That's really not right. Because then they're giving for the wrong motive. They're giving because out of obligation or something. No. Assess first, because we wouldn't want you giving to the church down the road or something like that if they're teaching something wrong. So make sure we're teaching what's right first, and you agree with it, and you say, yeah, that's God. I want to promote that. Then ask God, how much can I give? You see what I'm saying? Same thing with service. It's not about, you know, giving out of obligation even of our time in our service or anything like that, or even encouragement amongst believers. It's not about that. It's about find out if that's something that should get pushed forward. Once you've established that, now it's like, how much can I serve? How much can I give? How much time can I invest? You see what I'm saying? Ultimately, all this boils down to being eternally minded. When you get so wrapped up in heaven and not wrapped up in earth, all of a sudden you realize, Lord, how can I push your kingdom forward? How can I spread this kingdom into the earth more? When your mind's on heaven all the time, that's what's going on upstairs, it's coming out in your life. You're going to start wanting to spend your time on eternal things. And sometimes we will spend so much time on things that are temporal and fleeting and yet not on the eternal. But when you're eternally minded, it's going to be, Lord, what part do I play? And it could just be, I'm just throwing it out. It could be taking the garbage out. But you see, like, honestly, when I say that, I'm excited, honestly. I don't know if that bears witness with anybody. When I even think about me or somebody else having that mentality of, Lord, your kingdom is so good, I'm going to spread this all over the world. Let's do this together. Let's strive together for the hope of the gospel. Let's do this together. And can I take that garbage out? Because, man, if I take that garbage out for this church, it's like the kingdom's going out. Now somebody didn't need to do that, and someone could do something else to push the gospel forward. I just made room for the gospel. The fact that I don't have to do sound every day means I can preach here. You know why? Because somebody back there had the humility enough to say, I'm going to make room for the gospel. What do you need, Pastor Zane and Ms. Kim? Let me make room for you to do what you're called to do. Let me take that. We have this. I'm sorry, I'm going over. Is that okay? But I really am done right now. But just we have this objective even for the helpers in the classrooms with the kids. Their objective is to alleviate tasks from the teacher, so the teacher can do what they're supposed to do. That is ministry. When a helper puts snack out, when a helper corrects a kid during the lesson, you are making room for the gospel. I mean, you are literally saving people's lives for all eternity by putting snack out for a teacher. And you'll receive the teacher's reward. I'm telling you, the power. You can't resist that if you're eternally minded and kingdom minded. It's impossible. Impossible. So all I'm telling you is that, you know what, I've been sharing this with the team for quite a while too, so this is kind of an overflow on that. But it's just important to say, you know what, Lord, I want to get in on this. Like, as good as the kingdom is to you, is as good as you, as I should say, with the intensity that you love the kingdom, is to the intensity you will want to serve other people with the kingdom. It's like when you get good news, you know the first person you see, you're going to tell them. You're probably going to call somebody and tell them. Because with the intensity that you love the good news, is to the intensity you will want to serve it to somebody else. I'm telling you, it's the truth. It is just the truth. And God has a part in a ministry for every single person to play, and God wants you to play your part. And I guarantee you, the things we talked about pre-service will not happen until that happens first. That's what's holding everything up, just so you know. I swear to you by the God in heaven right now, that is the truth right there. Until every person's playing their part, that will not happen. I'm speaking by the Lord right now. I'm telling you, that happens first. When it's not one or two or three members, when it's all the members, then we can run forward, every part in sync, striving together for the gospel. That's how you do it. We cannot limp into what we were talking about previously. You can't limp into it. You can't limp when you're dragging a leg. You can't do that. You can't run a race, especially the one that we're talking about and the thing the Lord has for us. You can't do that limping. If the body's limping, you can't do that. The foot needs to function. The leg needs to function. The eyes, the ears, the nose, everything needs to function. It can't be one member. The body is not one member. The body is many. The body is not one member. Don't watch someone else do all the ministry. What's my role, Lord? I would challenge every person here to step up and say, Lord, what do you have for me? That may not be, let me just say this. That may mean different things to different people. But I'm just saying, I would challenge everybody to say, Lord, what do you have for me here? I don't want to hold this up. What do you have for me here? I'm going to step up and be the finger, the foot. I'm going to step up and be the ear. If that's the office you have for me, let's do it. If it means the kingdom for me to put out snack, Lord, I will put snack out until Jesus comes back. I'm not so proud of myself to think that I need notoriety to serve the kingdom properly. Then you don't need notoriety. We're giving Jesus the notoriety here. It's about Jesus getting that word out so people can be saved, so people can live, so people can be raised, healed, comforted, have the peace of God reigning in their hearts. That's all I'm telling you. Everybody, I believe, needs to step up and say, Lord, what's my function? And then do that function. So I thought it was by the Spirit. It's absolutely by the Spirit. But guess what an evidence of renewing your mind is? That function. If you're really renewing your mind, this will make perfect sense. And you'll know it. You'll know, I'm telling you. Because God wants, it's already part, it's in your DNA to serve that function. And God's already put the nature in you. He's just waiting for you to say, yeah, Lord, I'm open to it. What is it? Telling you, God, he'll tell you, and he'll start leading you. He'll move through you. We are always the one holding up the ministry. It's never the Lord. We're always the one holding that up. So if you're just willing to relent to it and say, Lord, what is it? I never considered that I had a ministry. I never considered that. Start considering it. That's part of renewing your mind, and you will see that come to pass in your life. I guarantee you. Thank you so much, Jesus. I just pray, Lord, for these people. Father, I pray that they receive the things that were said, Lord. But, Father, I also pray that they judge what was said. But I pray that they receive what was said, Lord. And if they understand something that was from you, Lord, I pray they run with it. Thank you so much, Jesus. I pray this all in your name, Lord. Thank you for the comfort on your people, Lord, as we go. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this message from Reformed Church. If you have, please share this with someone else and help us get this uncommon truth out to the world. If you'd like to support this good news, you can do so at reformchurch.com/give. Also on our website, you can take advantage of our free messages, articles, and even full discipleship courses. Start reforming your mind now at reformchurch.com.